This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Hi there. You're listening to More Than Potential, the podcast. On this show, we talk about mental health, well-being, and self-improvement from a Gen Z perspective. I'm your host, Faith. So guys, I'm excited because this is a very special episode of More Than Potential. I feel like I say this every episode now. Anyway, I'm introducing a very fun series I'm doing with all of my fellow podcasters of color called Sip and Wine, where we sip actual wine because we're all over 21 over here and we complain about a given topic. I have a friend of mine from college who is a podcaster that you may know. I might have mentioned her on the show a few times. Her name is Nestle Mitchell. Let me read her intro right quick. So Nestle is a 25-year-old creative born and raised in New York City, but has since relocated to the Metro Atlanta area. By day, Nestle can be found working her 9-to-5 in corporate America as a consultant. By night, she is the host of the Not My Problem podcast, a comedy and lifestyle podcast to commiserate all aspects of life where we navigate inner workings of a young millennial. By the way, she also has a YouTube channel where she uploads lifestyle and commentary videos. Outside of that, Nestle is a wine aficionado who spends most of her days binging YouTube videos or creating oddly specific Spotify playlists. So everybody put your virtual hands together for my fellow podcaster and friend, Nestle Mitchell.
Hello, everyone. And thank you so much. I'm so excited to be on this inaugural episode. And I'm excited to complain. That's what I do best. So I'm into it.
So that reminds me, I didn't tell you guys what the topic is. So I thought, what better way to introduce this segment than complain about Valentine's Day? Because Valentine's Day is approaching. So that's what we want to talk about. Let's complain about Valentine's Day.
Just throw the whole thing away. That's pretty much the summary, is throw the whole Valentine's Day away. But am I bitter? A little bit, but it's also a scam.
We'll definitely talk about it. But before we do, smash or pass. So smash or pass is a new little segment I'm introducing specifically for Sip and Wine, where we talk about what we're going to smash and pass. And on this episode, we're going to talk about Valentine's Day candy before anything else. Okay, smash or pass, Nestle, Dove candy. Smash or pass, Dove chocolate. What are we doing?
It's a pass. I don't trust chocolate made by bath soap. It's just a no. It's not happening.
I like it, though. I mean, I was kind of vibing with it, actually.
What? Like, I just don't feel comfortable. Like, I rub my body with Dove soap, and then you're going to try to coerce me into thinking that I could eat the chocolate?
I mean, I'm not mad, but I am a little disappointed, I guess.
So you're smashing? You're into it?
Oh, I'm smashing. Hardcore.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
It is what it is. So what about those chalk candies with the hearts that come in those boxes? I don't know what they're called, though.
They're called, I have this image on a tab because I needed to make sure we discuss this nasty chalk heart-shaped candy by Bratches. I don't know what it is. It's disgusting. Throw the whole thing away. It's like, I love you. Be true. Hug me. You're cute. Be mine. No. Be in the garbage is where you should be.
Yeah, I don't know who came up with that. Like, what person sat there and was like, you know what the world needs? Chalk candy. Like, who are they so I can punch them? Because somebody's family is rich off of chalk candy, and I'm upset about it.
Like, who asked for this? And let me tell you, I won't forget, in first grade, I had my little childhood crush. His name was Raymond, and he damn sure did give me a little box of Bratches conversation hearts and said, will you be my Valentine? And that was the one and only time I've ever had a Valentine, and I still stay true to it. But then he broke my heart, so now I just can't get behind the candy. It's been ruined for me.
Honestly, I can't even say, like, I got a specific Valentine's candy. I think I got the ones that everyone gets when they're in school, like the SpongeBob ones, or like the the Dora the Explorer. You know what I'm saying? You get the whole class one to avoid making somebody feel singled out.
That's true. But there's always that one person that is like, that wants to let everyone know that they have a Valentine outside of everybody getting the candies. It's too much.
This is true. Okay. Valentine's Day candy. How are we feeling about Ferrero Rocher?
Oh, God, no. That might be worse than the Brach's candy hearts. And let me tell you why. It's a pass. But it's a texture thing. I can't really explain why I think that candy's disgusting, but something in my soul it just can't get into it.
That actually hurts me a little bit because I'll smash them. A light smash. Like a one night stand. But you know, a smash.
Oh, they're just so expensive for no reason. And then like, is that the one that comes in like the golden tin foil?
It makes it look like gold? Yeah.
No. I have no rhyme or reason. It just isn't no for me, dog.
Oh, that's actually very disappointing. I mean, just because when I eat it, I feel very bougie. Like you said, it's expensive for no reason. And I can relate to that because same. I'm expensive for no reason. What quality do I bring? Not sure, but I'm expensive. And I look like gold. I glisten in the sunlight. I can relate. I am Ferrero Rocher. Ferrero Rocher is a little nutty, but chocolatey goodness.
You are Ferrero Rocher personified. I can respect it. And I like this idea of like, it's expensive. It looks expensive because my favorite candies are really the most low budget ones, like Fun Dip. I love me a Valentine's Day Fun Dip. I'm just saying.
Ain't that chalk candy?
Listen, it's candy crack cocaine, but
I guess I will be disappointed if I didn't bring up Nestle, like the company Nestle. Like, are you cool with Crunch Bars? That's not even a Valentine's Day candy, but I need to know this.
A hot take is I am truly not a fan of chocolate. I could really go without it my entire life. Nestle, I mean, they have a few hidden gems. Crunch Bar, no, it kind of gives me the same vibe as Ferrero Rocher. It has that like the nuts or whatever, the crunchy stuff that they have in it that makes it feel weird. It's a texture thing. It's odd. No, I think it's a pass for the Nestle company. They also have very problematic business practices, but candy is specifically, it's a no for me.
Wait, they do?
Yes, they have problematic business. I could go all day about what's wrong with Nestle as a corporation, but the Swedish got issues. That reminds me, speaking of dating, because this is going to be a dating Valentine's Day episode, there was one time a guy, he swiped right on me and then proceeded to tell me everything that was wrong with the Nestle Corporation and why my name was a problem to him, as if I had any choice in the matter.
Okay, that's a red flag. That's a deal breaker. Like, how are you going to tell someone what's wrong with their name and be like, that okay, yeah.
Yeah, it was a no. I was very shocked, and then I was like, I need to unmatch with you right now. But yeah, no, Nestle, it's a pass for me. What about you?
Okay, so that like texture thing you're talking about, I think it's like the Rice Krispies that are mixed in the chocolate.
Yes.
I mess with it. I do.
You're a chocolate person. I'm starting to feel like you're a chocolate person over like sweet candies.
Gag is I prefer candies with more fruit flavoring. So like Skittles and Starburst. But yes. I do certain types of chocolate. And there's a point where you get too much. I don't like chocolate on chocolate. I just like chocolate mixed in with something. So maybe chocolate and caramel or chocolate and a wafer like Kit Kat. Does that make sense?
Okay, I can get into that. But then we have the Dove chocolate that you're a fan of, which is literally just straight chocolate, unless you like the caramel flavored ones as well.
Yeah, I do. They have like, I remember when I was in high school, I got a big can of them. It was in a heart-shaped can from my dad. And so they had a mixture of Dove chocolates. It was like straight Dove chocolate, which were kind of okay. But the ones I liked were the ones that had the Dove chocolate and the caramel. And then it was like Dove chocolate and something else. I don't know whether it was like a fruit flavoring that was really good, but it had like an assortment of candies. But the fruit flavoring was very specific, and that's what made me like it. Any other time, I don't really like fruit flavoring.
Okay, I can respect it.
Okay. So Russell Stover, are we not really feeling it?
Russell Stover? What's that? Am I uneducated? What's Russell?
What? Let me do Russell Stover.
Hold on. Let me do a quick. Okay, hold on, guys. Oh, okay. So these are the candies that are usually in the heart-shaped boxes, and they have like assortments of candies. Okay, so I don't trust these type of boxes because I will only end up eating one of these, and then I will never eat them again. I don't like assortment because I never end up eating them. It's cute for aesthetic purposes, so it might be like a one-night stand. You know, it's cute aesthetically, but I'm like looking at these pictures and it just looks questionable. Like, how am I supposed to know what kind of chocolate I'm about to, you know, get involved in?
I think that's a fair point, because when I think about it, if I get like an assortment of Valentine's Day chocolates, I'm not even eating most of them. Like, I always skip the nougat ones, the ones with nougat on the inside.
You have me, legitimately Googling every single variation of candy because I simply don't know. Oh, man. Okay. And that's a chicken nugget. Okay. I see what you're saying.
You looked up nougat and you typed in nugget?
Wait a minute. I need the listeners at home to know that I do, in fact, have a formal education. It's just not in chocolate, okay? Okay? So I have it. I have it now. I like the nougat ones. So that's I love that I hate all the chocolate, but that's the one that I can get from.
That took me out. You know that you're not knowing how to spell nougat. For those listening, it's N-O-U-G-A-T, nougats, not nuggets. What else do I skip? I usually don't like the ones with like the fruit flavoring on the inside of the candy. That's nasty. That's
literally just said that you like fruit flavored in the other candy. So
It was an exception. Like, that was an exception to the rule. I like my fruit separate from my candy, which is why 9 times out of 10, you'll never see me liking like fruit dipped in chocolate.
I was going to say, with chocolate covered strawberries, what's the tea?
I like chocolate covered strawberries, but it took me a long time to get acclimated because the texture of strawberries is weird to me. So I typically prefer my chocolate and my fruit separately in most situations.
Okay. Okay, so you're not a fondue person. Like, you wouldn't like the melting pot.
No.
Okay.
That's awful. That sounds like bacteria. That sounds like COVID-19.
Honestly, in a COVID world, I simply would never. But prior to that, I went one time and I could get into it. It's very germy now that I think about it, but not bad.
I don't think I'm a fan of fondue in general. Like, you know, like cheese fondue and stuff, or you just dip it in the melted cheese. I'm not even a fan of that. It's too nasty to me. I don't know.
Melted cheese is something that I just don't think is that serious. I'm a hoe for a good charcuterie board, but I don't need melted cheese.
Shout out to you for knowing how to say charcuterie. Is it
charcuterie?
Charcuterie.
The fact that you just said charcuterie, so, you know.
The fact that you said that so effortlessly, but then really stumbled over nougat, just really, you just said it charcuterie as if it was like a very common word for people to say. Oh, God.
I'll never be living that one down. Wow.
I'll let it go after a little while. Okay. So let's get to business. Let's start complaining. For those listening at home, I am drinking Winking Owl wine from Aldi. It is a sweet red and so sweet that it tastes like juice. And I'm actually I'm not tipsy, but halfway through the bottle, I'm feeling a little good right now. I'm going to pour a whole other cup, but yeah, it's 8.5% alcohol. For $2.99, you can't be mad. You know what I'm saying?
That's a good deal. I am not drinking wine this afternoon because it's a little early for me. It's 3:30 p.m., but I picked another It's 2 o'clock for Faith. Let's just, you know, get some context. So, however, I am drinking a drink that starts with the W, so it flows. I'm drinking a White Claw, and I'm on probably like my fourth White Claw. So I'm just now feeling the, like, I feel free like a bird. I'm ready to talk my shit. I'm feeling good. This flavor I think is lemon. I'm in the second variety pack with the tangerine, the mango, the watermelon, the lemon, the superior pack, if I must say so myself.
I would have to agree with you. I'm a huge fan of the mango flavor. I don't know.
So good. Just so good.
I'm glad we're in agreement here. Okay. My first question, Nestle, because I want to know, right? I don't know if I've ever asked you this about... And your ex-boyfriend, I feel like you did have an ex-boyfriend at some point, but it was a while ago. I just want to know what happened. Like, did y'all break up? Did you break up with him? Did he break up with you? What went down? I never knew.
I don't think I tell many people, which is very interesting. So I've only had one boyfriend in my life. This was towards... I'm 25 now. This is towards my freshman year of college. And we dated for like half of my senior year of high school and then freshman year of college. And I mean, he went to Georgia State and it just like fizzled out. It was never anything that was like worth telling people about, because it was just one of those instances where it's like, oh, you knew each other from high school, you tried to make it work in college, it didn't work, and then that was the end of that. And then I've just been single ever since, with, you know, quite a few shenanigans in between then, but no formal boyfriend.
Yes, the drought. I know it well.
The drought. And it is a drought, to say the least. Wow.
Feeling a little parched these days.
I have my good old toys to keep me sane in these unprecedented times. And it works. It works for now.
That's all you really need. So that was actually a longer relationship. I don't know why I thought it was like a few months, but the second half of your senior year to college is like, that's just a decent amount of time, I'd say, for a first boyfriend, really.
Yeah, I would say so. I think a lot of it was it just carried on longer than it needed to or than it really should have, because we were just like trying to make the distance work when neither of us had a car. But I think it really should have cut the tie, I guess, a year. So like half of my freshman year and then plus the half of my senior year of college. And then that's really when it should have been OV. But, you know, it carried into the full year of college. And it was cool. We're still like friendly and cordial, but like we're not hanging out, I guess. So your ex, that was towards the end of college. When was that timeline?
Well, the timeline gets kind of screwed up because, like, if you remember, because you were there.
I was there. I did.
You saw it all. I feel like, yes, it was the end of college, but also we dated after college, too, for a few months. I would say if I graduated in May of 2019, we were off and on. We were dating off and on for a while before we started trying to get more serious. And then I think... In 2019, we actually just straight up dated, in 2019. But we started trying to take each other more seriously towards the end of 2018. So I would say we dated for real towards the end of 2018 through most of 2019. And we broke up around August or September of 2019.
Damn, that was a long time. I guess in my head, I also count when you were us like talking ish, because that was when I was still at school and I graduated a year before you. So this journey is really like a year of some change.
Yes, the beloved talking stage where so much shenanigans happens. That was terrible. That was awful.
Talking stage is truly terrible. That's a phase that I no longer subscribe to, because you will waste a significant amount of time in that stage if you allow these men to let you live in that space.
Oh, for sure. Like, I don't think the talking stage really benefits anyone. I think it just benefits the person who really is the least committed. Like, I feel like a lot of guys benefit because they can talk to you for an indefinite period of time and get you to have sex with them, but no boundaries have been established. So you're talking and literally having sex, and then the guy's like, well, I never told you we were serious. I never told you that we were together. And it's like, seriously? You're really just saying we're talking? Because we're doing a lot more than talking.
Exactly. And I feel like people have this same thing with dating. Like, everybody has their own opinion of what the term talking is, what the term dating is. So unless it's explicitly defined, you get to exist in this gray area where, and then these men get to say, well, we're not exclusive, or you're not my girlfriend. And I'm like, but we're doing everything that would, you know, be a girlfriend would do. So what are we doing? And they're like, no, we're just talking. And I'm like, shut up, get away from me, peasant.
No, but that's true, because I was talking to some younger people. I think between you and I, we're probably considered Gen Z, but we could really be considered millennials too, like the tail end of millennials. It can go either direction. But when you talk to people who are actually Gen Z, like without a doubt, people born in 2000. Side note, kids born in 2000 are really about to turn 21. That's crazy.
That's crazy. That's really crazy.
I feel old as hell.
Damn.
Anyway, so I talked to some kids who were born in the 2000, on the year 2000, right? And they were telling me that their interpretation of talking literally means they are going on dates. But for someone like me, talking is just talking, just having conversations. But when they say talking, talking is interchangeable with dating.
See, that's interesting, because I also, I would say I consider talking exclusively dating someone, even though I don't really like to subscribe to that word talking. If I had to describe it, I think that's what I would say, exclusively dating someone.
So I'm confused. Isn't that a relationship though? Like, if you're exclusively dating someone, isn't that just like a relationship?
You know, that's a great question, but I've been told that these are two different things, because you could be exclusively dating someone but never define the relationship and say you're my boyfriend or you're my girlfriend. So I think that's like the precursor to the formal relationship. But I could see how these terms could get, you know, blurred. None of it makes sense.
What? Like, do you know that meme with the white lady with the blonde hair, and you see like all the math on the screen? That's literally me. I'm like, what? That's a whole
niche now? I don't know. That's why I'm like, okay, I'm either single or we're in a relationship. I can't do this in between. It's just too many things. There's too many terminologies. I feel like an old woman trying to keep up, and I'm really not even old.
I mean, yeah, I have to agree with you on that, because literally, for me, I like boundaries to be really clear. So either we are together and we're in an exclusive committed relationship, or we're just having sex and there's no feelings involved. It's literally just sex, or we're not doing anything and we are just friends. But I need very clear boundaries, like, because I can have sex with someone and not have my feelings attached. I sincerely believe that, because I'm able to do that with a guy I used to date. We just have sex and there's no real feelings. Like, we care about each other, but like not in a romantic sense. And there's no real jeopardy of that. So I'm capable of doing that, but the boundaries need to be clear, you know, like explicitly clear. Like, we are never getting together. We're never going to be in a relationship. Neither of us have interest. And we will stop having sex with each other when we meet someone that we want to be with. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's very clear what the boundaries are.
See, that sounds healthy and in a box that makes sense. But okay, this is a question for you. Are you able to do friends with benefits or no?
Absolutely not. This is a trap. It's a scam. I don't believe in it. No.
I don't think it's plausible. I really don't. It just, we're not friends. We're not friends. I just can't.
Like, it's weird, because some people would look at my situation that I have with, you know, the guy that I used to date, Nestle. I'm not going to say his name. Okay. But you know
what? Okay, yes. I know who you're talking about. From last year.
Yeah, we still got a little thing going on. So if he breaks up with his girlfriend, he knows he could just, you know, make my hotline bling and be like, hey,
wait, a girlfriend? Or are we talking hypothetically?
He has one current. Like, what? Current.
Lord Jesus. Me and Faith clearly haven't caught up in a second because I am flabbergasted.
Yeah, he moved quick, man. He got a little girlfriend now. So, you know, of course we're not I wouldn't say we're not speaking. We have had a few brief conversations, but obviously it's respectful of the girlfriend that he has. If he decided to break up with her and that concluded, he could just hit me up and we continue having, you know, consequence-free sex, and it would be that. But I guess some people would say that's a friends with benefits, but I don't even think it is, because we're not really hitting each other up all the time like a friend would. It's just kind of like almost like a booty call, but with more respect. You know what I'm saying? Like, he does schedule me in his calendar. Like, you know, he gives me like a full 48-hour notice. You know,
it's not a night of 10 p.m. What are you doing? It's a what are you doing this upcoming weekend type of situation.
Right. And he like gets snacks and make sure I'm comfortable. I spend the night.
Snacks. I'm sold. Yeah. Snacks. Let's go.
Get you a man who likes you enough to get you snacks and cook you breakfast afterwards. Like, truly, he's a gentleman. He feeds me and he sends me on my way. He doesn't chase me out. Sometimes he's like, do you want to spend the night? And sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. And if I do, then it's whatever. We just watch anime and go to bed. Like, it's whatever.
That sounds like a good time.
It's a good situation.
That's what we're during these COVID times. That sounds pretty good.
He's a king, I must say. He's social distance and everything. So he's not like talking to a bunch of people. He literally lives by himself, works at home, doesn't leave his home. He takes social distancing seriously and gets COVID tested once every month or so. So really, he does what he needs to do. So I feel comfortable and safe enough to do that and then go about my business. So some people would say that's a friends with benefits, but I think that we're not trying to push it. Like, I'm not going to text him every day and try to build this level of intimacy that doesn't exist. Like, we have our boundaries. Like, he has his space, I have mine. You know, I don't know if that makes any sense.
No, that makes a lot of sense, because I feel like with friends with benefits, people want to exist in this world where they also have a like some sort of relationship outside of, you know, scheduling the shenanigans to be had. And then they get mad when the other party doesn't want to talk to you midday talking about whatever you want to talk about. I think that's the better way and what friends with benefits technically should be, but that's just not the reality of what friends with benefits is. But I like your situation. I can get into that.
I mean, it's fine. I'm low-key pressed that he has a girlfriend now. I'm happy for him, and I'm like, damn it, I gotta actually do some work to find somebody.
Yeah, because now you gotta start over. Well, now, yeah, so you gotta find someone new. And I'm like, oh, especially in these COVID times, it's just, is it really worth it? Like, am I trying to do all that? Nah, at least for me, it's a no right now.
It's not worth it, Nestle. It's really not.
It's not. And I'm just like, ugh, just for disappointment, because 9 times out of 10, these men are disappointing in all aspects of life. So, like, what am I putting myself at risk for? Nothing.
Oh, speaking of, I didn't even tell you about this. So y'all just gonna see me and Nestle catching up, because there's some stuff you don't.
It's literally example. Me and Faith haven't had like a formal catch up. We used to have, I guess ever since you started your business and you've been like heads down in that, we haven't really had a formal catch up. So I'm like, there's so much I don't know.
Life, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on. You're no longer an analyst, you're a consultant now. I don't know what.
Okay, I have a job. I start the day, well, when this comes out, my new job will be on the 15th. So yes, I work as a consultant at a healthcare company. So it's good times.
Oh, good for you. We love to see
it. I got an increased bag. Let's get into it.
We love that. Oh, yeah. We love to see it. I'm so happy for you, Nestle. Make your money, girl. Live your life. I'm rooting for you.
I'm also fully remote, so catch me out in some other state sometime soon. We'll see what that looks like.
That is so dope. I did not know that you left your other company. I did not know. I knew you were planning or scheming to see if there was an opportunity. I didn't know that the opportunity was given and you had already.
The opportunity was given. There was shenanigans that occurred on my birthday and onward that had to, you know, speed up the process. But we'll talk offline about that. But anyways, carry on with your story.
No, I'm very invested in this. We'll talk about it later. So what was I saying? I think that I don't remember what I was saying, honestly, Nestle.
Don't you hate when that happens?
Oh, damn. Oh, I remember now. So men not being worth it during the pandemic. Yes. Long story short, I matched with a guy on Tinder. I downloaded Tinder. I broke down. I had a moment of weakness. I did. What can I say? I hate it too. I hate it for
me. It's not the best. It's a bad choice, but we all make it at some point. It's fine.
And, you know, I just, sorry, the vibrator wasn't doing it anymore, guys. I was like, okay, let me just see what's in there just to see. I matched with this really attractive guy, but I don't really believe that anything could come from this because he already seems kind of dumb. Long story short.
Like, define dumb.
As in making decisions that don't make sense for the situation. How do I describe this? So we matched, we talk. He gets my number, we move offline very quickly, planning a date to go get some Italian food, right? Okay. As we're planning for the date, this is what he says. I just want to read what he says so you understand why I was so pressed. He said, okay, so I tell him that there is an Italian place nearby my apartment that I heard was very good. This man lives 90 minutes away from me. He does, like roughly. Under 90 minutes away from me. And he volunteers to come see me. It's not the first time a man has done it. It's not the last time. So he says, yeah, you know, I'll totally come see you. The distance doesn't matter to me. Whatever. And then he says, we'll definitely have to hit up that spot, meaning the Italian place that we were talking about. And I said, for sure. And then he says, I'd have to plan to stay more than likely. So we just have to figure out that part. I'm gonna read that again. I'd have to plan to stay more than likely. So we just have to figure that part out. Now, I read that shit about 20 times. I said, what do you mean? He said, sorry, I wasn't trying to be confusing. And I said, I'm just not sure what you meant. So I wanted to clarify. And he says, I meant traveling. I need to figure out a place to stay since it's an hour plus drive from me. And I said, another option would be to just meet in the middle. And I don't feel comfortable with having a stranger in my home.
What? This man really thought that you would just be like, yeah, you could stay the night. A stranger I've never met before.
literally have never talked to this man on the phone at all. At least the other guy I dated, we had several phone conversations and we talked multiple times over Skype before we met in person. It wasn't like a complete stranger. This guy, I've literally only texted him a few days.
That is wild. And I too have experienced something similar where this was back, I think my senior year of college. And this guy lived like, I would say like an hour away. And he wanted to hang out. And he was like trying to say that he was trying to insinuate that I let him stay with me. And I was like, no. Do you have friends? Do you have friends that live in the area? I go to a pretty large school. You said you know someone that goes to my school. Can you stay with them? And then he got mad when I was like, I don't know you. You're not spending the night in my establishment. Get away from me, weirdo. Ah, these men, they have nothing but the audacity.
Nothing but the audacity. Clearly not a place to stay, not a place to, you know.
Like drive home. Like go home. That's also an option.
I don't understand why these men are so comfortable just laying their head down at anybody's house. That's how I know you two out here. You for the team, you for the community, you belong to the streets. Ain't no way a man with common sense is going to be comfortable laying his head in a bed that's not his, of a person you don't know.
That's crazy. That's wild. I can't even imagine even considering doing that. And then for him to be confused that you wanted clarification on what he was really intending, and he's like, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to confuse you. No, there is no confusion. I need to make sure that I read that correctly.
They have nothing. They have nothing. They have literally nothing but audacity.
That's really wild. Wow.
So in terms of like dating during this pandemic, it's just been one dumpster fire after another. Like, I haven't been on any dating apps for at least 3 months. Like, it's been a while. So for me to venture out in February and see this, I was like, yeah, I guess I just need to let that go. That I was right the first time.
Yeah, I tried it. So in the beginning, I matched with this gentleman and we were just COVID pen pals for the longest time because the cases, it was in the beginning where everybody was like, no, we're going to stay home during season one of quarantine. And after, I don't know, like four to five months of, you know, being COVID pen pals, no Zoom, no Skypes, no FaceTimes, because he had an Android. That should have been my red flag, number one. But, you know, here we are. And then it got to the summertime and I'm in like the metro Atlanta area. And during the summer, people were like, it was the cases were they seemed like a glimmer of hope, just a glimmer. So people are out there, you know, at breweries and outdoor seating events. And homeboy was like, is it time? Like, let's hang out. Let's go on a date. And I was like, oh, here we are. I actually don't want to go on a date with you. So I'm going to turn you down. To which he got upset with me and called me a weirdo for saying that I didn't want to date him. And it was in that moment where I realized that these men are just strange and I don't want to deal with it anymore. So that was my one and only interaction where I was on the cusp of going on a COVID date and it never happened. And then since then, I just haven't been on the apps. It's just got to throw it away.
Oh, I remember this story and I just remember feeling like, I think the thing that always gets me about a lot of these guys is that the lack of empathy or understanding, or I guess even common sense. Like, we're in a global pandemic. Why would you think a woman with common sense would feel comfortable just going out and about and risking her safety with someone? Like, if y'all had been talking for a while, for months, and nobody made a move, why would you be incentivized to go on a date with him? Why waste your time or risk your health to go out with someone who wasn't really motivated to try and really meet you when y'all first started talking? Like, if you can go months without meeting up, you can go the rest of your life, honestly.
Exactly. And then at that point, you make a good point where I'm like, okay, we're in the middle of a pandemonium, a Papa John's, a panoramic.
A parallelogram.
So at this point, I have to thoroughly want to go on a date with you. There is no, he's okay. Let me just waste my time and just go on a date just to say I'm going on a date. During these times, absolutely not. So I was like, no, I don't want to go on a date with you. And then he did not understand that concept. I'm just like, ooh, you're cringy. Ooh. Goodbye.
Yeah, I think that's definitely a personal problem for sure. Because if anything, COVID has taught me to like really be intentional. Not that I wasn't before, but even more intentional with who I spend my time with. Like, you don't want to catch COVID and have long-term side effects from meeting up with a stupid guy that doesn't even like you enough to ask you out and take you seriously when you first start talking. Like, you know what I mean? It's just not something I think that most women are really looking for. And so I think that in a way, COVID's been a blessing because it's kind of shown you who's real and who's fake and who's really trying to meet someone and it's serious versus all the guys looking for relationships passively but don't want to take any real action to meet someone and make it real.
Exactly. The fact that I guess we're forced to be more intentional is like a blessing for me, but also a curse for these men because these men are starting to realize it's easier shown. They're put on their asses that they ain't shit and people are catching on quicker. I'm like, y'all need to be better because this ain't it.
At all. So I do want to ask, since the whole point of this was to talk about Valentine's Day, how do you feel about the holiday? Is it trash? Is it a good time?
I am just a non-affectionate person. Like, my love languages, the things that are on the bottom are receiving gifts and physical touch. So Valentine's Day is not my journey. It's just really cringy. It's just the capitalist regime is like out on it, out in full force, trying to sell you heart-shaped candies and teddy bears. Speaking and all of that to say that my mom definitely asked me to go get her a stuffed hedgehog from Kroger, so I will be doing that this afternoon for her Valentine's Day gift. But I mean, I think it's just super unnecessary. I don't know if it's like the bitter person in me, because in theory, I've never had a Valentine's, but I like to think that I would be myself throughout the entire duration of the relationship, and there shouldn't be like a special day to, you know, buy all this excess stuff that I don't really want or need in a relationship. What about you?
So I'm the exact opposite. I want one good Valentine's Day. I don't know if you've seen these viral tweets where the girl gets like a whole Victoria's Secret wardrobe and the guy takes her to this hotel room and there's like a bunch of rose petals everywhere, and like she has like all of these gifts, they have like a romantic dinner and stuff. I'm not saying it has to be that. But I do want at least one Valentine's Day where a guy just goes above and beyond to make me feel like special and stuff, because it's very romantic and it's what I've always wanted. You know what I'm saying? So I think that that's really what I'm looking for. I'm looking for a very romantic Valentine's Day date. And it doesn't have to even be every year. But the man for me ideally would want to do that for me every year just to make me happy. So I think like, when I think about Valentine's Day, it's less about like the candies and the gifts and as much as the person that I'm with really taking the time to show me like how much they care and just celebrate the relationship and just give good vibes. Like I want an excuse to look hot and wear a really sexy dress and just have like a good time with someone that I care about. So yeah, I'm a sucker for that kind of stuff, but I understand the argument against it.
I'm trying to think, like, if I had to pick my ideal Valentine's Day, none of it. I think I would really want none of it, which is crazy of that to say, because I can't even think of, like, a tame, quote-unquote, Valentine's Day. Like, a tame Valentine's Day that I would feel comfortable with would pretty much be the equivalent to any other day, which is why I'm like, okay, never mind. I don't want it. Keep it. Maybe get me a nice piece of steak.
A steak?
And a nice bottle of wine, perhaps.
Well, that is your love language.
I do love, if alcohol is a love language, then yes. Yes. That sounds like alcoholism. I'm fine, guys. I'm fine.
No, I think that's like, I think that's fair. I was literally just talking to a friend about that today, because she was saying too that she didn't really feel like it matters to her. Like Valentine's Day is not really that big of a deal for her. And I understand the points behind it. I think that like, it's like with any holiday where people use it to make a ton of money and they try to convince you to buy things that you don't really need. And it's selling to you an idea, and it's less about what the holiday is supposed to represent. Like if people were really focused less on just stunting for people on social media and bragging about.
And that's what it comes down to. I think people are so invested because they need to stunt on social media, or they see the comparison of somebody else having this elaborate thing. I was about to say elaborate Thanksgiving. What? This elaborate. And now they're like, I want that. But like, do you really want it, or do you just want it to say that you have it?
That's true. I mean, I cannot speak for everyone, but I know for me, I'm not about broadcasting those specific parts of my life. Like if I were to have a partner, I wouldn't really talk about them much on my social media channels, and I certainly wouldn't post them on there. I think some things do need to be private. And generally speaking, I think, granted, I'm a diehard romantic, which I would not admit if you asked me in person, but I am a diehard romantic. And so
I learned this recently from you, and I was like, huh? Really?
Yeah. I mean, I watch a lot of like soap operas and Korean dramas. So if that doesn't say anything, I don't know what does. Like, I'm very, like, over the top dramatic romanticism, but it's private. It's very, very private. It's not something I want broadcasted to the world. So, you know, I've had, for instance, my toxic ex-boyfriend, which I don't know if I've really talked about him fully on the show, but whatever. He, for New Year's Eve, when we were, New Year's Eve 2019, he came to my apartment and was like, I'm here. And I, because I think I was on duty. I was an RA, a resident assistant at the time, and I was on duty for New Year's Eve. So I couldn't leave my room or leave the dorms. So he comes and has like all these bags of stuff. And he had like candles and glow sticks. And he had like champagne and fruit, like a whole fruit platter and a bunch of other stuff. And we laid a blanket out on the ground and ate, you know, some fruit. And we had all these candles lit up around the room and the lights turned off and had champagne. And he had rose petals. It was very cute. And I didn't post about it. I don't think I told anyone.
I was going to say, I was a fellow RA with Faith, and I have, this is the first time I'm hearing about this.
I mean, because it was private. It was a very personal moment, and that was a night we almost fucked. But I will say, he almost got the pussy. He didn't, but he was close. I do think that that was a really special time. I think it was one of like the good memories of that relationship is because he went all out. And I didn't have to tell him to. He just wanted to do something special for me because I was locked in, you know, the dorms on a holiday. And he was like, yeah, let's just make a night of it. Let's just have fun and, you know, get drunk and just chill. And so, I don't know. It was nice. That kind of stuff is nice to me. But it's between me and my partner, not the whole world.
That's cute. I can get into that. I wish I had that vibe in me, but I simply cringe at the thought. So I just know. I am easily uncomfortable by like any sort of grand gesture, any attention brought on me. So I would actually curl up in a ball and run away. Ooh. Oh no. I need like 4 business days to mentally prepare and like a surprise? Don't spring that on me. Don't spring that on me. No.
No. So what would be something that you would think is like romantic or something that you would want a partner to do for you? Not for Valentine's in general.
Like a night. Okay. I could do a nice dinner. Like a really nice Valentine's Day. We're going to go to a dinner. Because I love makeup. I love dressing up. So I'd be into that. But I don't want the, like, the cards. I don't want the cringy spiel across the dinner table. You holding my hand across the dinner table. No. No. Let's just exist in this moment and have a good time. Bottles on bottles of wine. Keep them coming. And that's all I need. That's all I need. That's it. No more, no less. Call it a day. Yeah.
That's so wholesome. Not even... Not no flowers, not no candy, nothing, no cards, just
flowers? Oh, I don't know. I don't even know. I don't think so. A card? Oof. No. No. Words of not affirmation make me cringe.
Not even an e-card?
Not a e-card? Does it come with a gift card?
Touche.
If it comes with a gift card, then perhaps you may be onto something. But other than that, I mean, don't get like, I don't want no Shakespearean essay in the card. Just something simple, something light, something meaningful. But like, don't get all mushy. I'll be, ooh, ew.
Now, see, I will agree with you. It's very rude to give a woman a card and not put nothing in the card. I'm just saying. It needs to be something in the card. Like
I'm you know, massaging the card before I even open it to see like to see what's up. And there's nothing worse than the cards that are like abnormally thick for no reason, but they're so you think that there's something inside, and then when you open it, it's empty. I haven't felt pain until those moments.
It reminds me of when, just random thought. During Christmas, when your grandma or somebody or some family relative would give you a card with money in it, and then you know there's money in the card, but you got to pretend like you're not really opening it for the money. So you got to pretend like you actually care what the card says. You open it up, you read it. Oh, and you let the money fall on the card.
You let the money fall.
What? $40? Grandma, you shouldn't have. Thank you so much. You knew that money was in that card.
You knew immediately, and you knew exactly what you were about to spend it on.
Well, I don't know if you even got the money, because my mom would hold it for me.
Hold it. Let me tell you. When I think, I'm pretty sure I had graduation money that I never saw. I'm pretty sure it was supposed to go to, you know, dorm funds and decorating, but I don't remember buying anything from my dorm that I didn't spend with my own money. So. Something ain't adding up. I'm just saying, something ain't adding up. Okay, what are your thoughts on Galentine's Day?
Okay, Galentine's Day, great concept. I do feel, though, if I'm being honest, that it's a way for single women to make themselves feel better about, like, not having someone to spend their Valentine's Day with. And I think that if I'm being honest, if I'm someone who just wants to feel better about, you know, not having a partner, I would rather just spend that time by myself than try to spend it with my friends and, like, try to make myself feel better about it, because that makes me feel even worse about it. Does that make any sense?
That makes a lot of sense. And maybe that's why that Galentine's Day was invented, because that sounds right. Like, that sounds like what the initial purpose for Galentine's Day was, to, you know, help the single people feel not alone. But for me, I guess Galentine's Day is more of, I can't really think of a time where I'm like, where I want to get all of my closest friends together. We all look cute and just be cute together. And the only time where I think, besides, like, someone's birthday, but then, like, you're in celebration of one particular person, whereas Galentine's Day for me, I'm, like, getting all my friends together and we're just celebrating just to celebrate, I guess. And but I see why. I don't know what Galentine's Day is defined for me, other than just a time to get cute and have an aesthetically pleasing brunch.
I mean, for me, I think that, like, Galentine's Day is literally just every other day that you spend at brunch with your girls. Like, brunch day should be the day where you look cute and you take cute pictures for your Instagram and you eat good food and you get a little boozy with the mimosas, like the bottomless mimosas. That's what it's for. Like, what makes Galentine's Day different than any other time you go out with your girlfriends? Oh, the fact that you don't have boyfriends to spend Valentine's Day with. That's the only real reason. I don't know. I at that point, I'd rather spend Valentine's Day alone. And just drink and eat good food and just vibe versus, I think it would make me feel worse. It almost makes me feel like if I'm trying to actively make myself feel better about being alone, it's pathetic. But if I'm just fine being alone on the day because it's not that big of a deal, then it's more empowering versus, like, trying to, you know what I'm saying? Trying to actively make yourself feel better by trying to get your girlfriends together and make a whole event out of it. It's just unnecessary. Like, to me, it's unnecessary. Like, Valentine's Day should be more than just your romantic partners and stuff. So if your intention is to just show love and appreciation to your girls, and that's Galentine's Day for you, then that's fine. But if it's literally just you and your single friends getting together to not feel alone on Valentine's Day, I'd rather just be alone.
That's a good point. For me, I always think of Galentine's Day as just not exclusively for the single friends. Like, I would also think that my friends that have been in long-term relationships or engaged, married, what have you, they're also invited to the Galentine's Day.
I don't know. I feel like, I guess it would depend on how people view Valentine's Day. Because when I think about Valentine's Day, I don't even think about it as showing love to everyone in your life, which is what it should be. But I think about romantic relationships. So I think that's part of the problem. Like, if Valentine's Day was marketed as just showing love to everyone in your life, then, like, Valentine's Day would be justified. But if it's just Valentine's Day marketed as a day for lovers, then making Valentine's Day a thing is just saying that you don't have a lover. And so you need to make yourself feel better by doing all this unnecessary shit when it's literally just a day.
Yeah, I'm like Googling what's the definition of Valentine's Day? And now I just got a whole bunch of Jesus. So I'm good. I'm good on that. Never mind.
What is the correlation?
It's the feast of Saint Valentine. I don't know. It's talking crazy things. I don't want to get involved. I'm seeing Lutheran church. I'm seeing a lot of things, but I'm not getting a formal definition, which is what I want.
Oh, Galentine's Day is celebrated on February 13th.
Yes, I did know that. And that's from a show. Like, I think it stemmed from a show.
Parks and Rec,
yeah. And then ever since then, that's kind of what spearheaded this whole life of Galentine's Day.
I did not know that Galentine's Day was celebrated on a completely different day.
Oh, you didn't know that?
No, I never watched Parks and Rec.
Me either. I don't know why, but I did know that it's the day before for whatever reason.
Hmm.
I guess that makes it a little. Does that make it a little bit better for you? That it's a separation.
It is still a ripoff of Valentine's Day. I feel like, you see, Galentine. If we really just want to show support for our girls and just say, hey, girl, you're amazing. Thanks for being my friend. It really should be its own day. It should be its own name. And it should be something that we all celebrate. It needs to be corporatized and maybe, like, you know, have some commercialism about it. I would totally be here for it. I support it. Now that I know it's a completely different day, that does help validate the need for the holiday. But yeah, that's what I'm now thinking. Valentine's Day is fine. It's fine.
Now I'm thinking about Galentine's Day. Like, does that term age well in 2021? It doesn't seem very inclusive.
Oh, everyone's not a gal.
Everyone's not a gal. Ooh, we're onto something.
Listen, don't say it too loud, because there's gonna be a hot take on it somewhere.
Sure. I'm actually gonna go hunt for it because I know it exists and I would like to read it. I simply would like to see it. Ah, damn. Some things just don't age well.
That's
like Sex in the City, a show that does not age well, but that's a whole different topic.
Okay, wait, time out. No, wait, I need to get this off my chest now. I love Sex in the City. I think it's such a good show. It's such a good show. There are some things that don't age well, but the general dynamics of the friend group, absolutely. Like, I had never seen the show until I heard you talk about it one time, and I randomly got, like, HBO and decided to watch it. And I was like, wow. This show really is kind of good, because some of the stuff is outdated, but the essential parts of the show that are important, like Carrie Bradshaw and her relationship with Big, oh man, that is going to be like a tale as old as time. That's like so relevant even today.
Actually, Matt, I've been wanting to do a Sex in the City exclusive show. And Faith, I think you're going to have to be the person that I have this conversation with. So that will be in the works in the near future, because oof, we could go in.
Especially the movie. Listen, I had never seen Sex in the City, the first movie. That movie took me the fuck out. I said,
the first movie is hilarious.
It was a comedy tragedy. It was a tragic comedy in a way, because the way Carrie Bradshaw was acting was so ridiculous. I was like, this man hates you. He hates you. That's the only explanation. Can you imagine? I get heated thinking about it. A man standing you up on your wedding day.
He was at the location. That is someone going. He went to the location and then said, nah, I'm good, and left. Oh, no. She's better than me, because I would have actually fought him in the street. Actually fought him.
But we are ignoring all of the stuff that led up to that. Because even how he proposed to her was so trash. Like,
but she accepted the bare minimum. That was what she did the entire relationship. So, like, that's nothing new to her. But I saw that as, like, why would you want someone that just say, okay, then let's get married. Like, I guess. The fuck? Where's my ring? Where's my down on one knee?
No thought. He thought buying her an apartment with a closet was a good replacement for a ring. Like, he was really out here acting like, well, I bought you an apartment. I bought you this entire place with an amazing closet. Why aren't you happy? Seriously?
Is this not enough? Like, sir, no. First of all, if we break up, this is your apartment. So that was the one thing that I will give Carrie. She made several points by saying, this is technically your apartment. I have no weight in this. And then he thought he solved it by just saying, okay, like, let's get married, I guess. Could it be me? No.
Couldn't be me. And I was pressed at the fact that she really tried to blame her friend who was pressed because of her man cheating. That was a whole situation in and of itself, by the way. He cheated. And then she, what was it? Her friend Miranda told Big that you're crazy to get married. That is
the
not.
The fact that sentence was enough to push him over the edge. Like, I could see why Carrie would be mad at her, but like, he obviously was 1 foot out the door. Like, that was just the extra push he needed. He was already gone.
Already. And it was so many different times in that relationship where he actively showed her. He was so not in it. He literally married another bitch and cheated on her with you. That is not a compliment. In a seedy hotel. Do you remember that shit? I was like, kill me.
The bar is on the floor. And now I'm like, is this the delusion that women face where they're like, yeah, he cheated on his current girlfriend with me, but I'm different. I'm the one. Ah! Crazy. It's mental illness.
You the one that's crazy enough to stick around. That's all that means. It does not mean that you're the one he loved. Oh, man. There were so many times where Big showed his ass. But I was like, no, granted, Big... I don't want to get too deep into it. We're going to save it for the podcast. We'll save it for the podcast.
There's a lot to unpack. I actually am going to have to do it's been a year. I need to go through this show again. Wow.
It is different when you go through it again. I will definitely we should do a season review or something. Per season, an episode or two per season to really break down what happened and why it was so stupid.
She let Aiden go, and I'm just saying Aiden was the best option.
He was the only option. Out of all the dudes she dated, they were mostly ugly. So really, Aiden was the best.
British man was weird, but I was somewhat into him for whatever.
The Russian guy, I never understood. I thought he was so creepy and possessive. I don't understand it.
I don't know. I don't know why, but something, he spoke to me for some reason.
The Russian?
Yeah, I don't know why. Yeah.
Something about him. The way his face was shaped, he looked a little rat. Like.
I think it was just the accent.
Man, this is going to be so bad. So the people in the audience who actually are of Russian descent, this is no shade to y'all. It was just him. It wasn't y'all.
Shade, just facts.
But anyway, oh God, we should definitely do that for real because I have so much to say about that show. It took me out. I couldn't do it. But
it'll be in the works, people. Stay tuned.
So, you know, as we close out the episode, I feel like this was all over the place, but it was so entertaining. I had a
true chaos. True chaos. I don't know what you're about to title this, but okay. Valentine's Day ex-boyfriend and Sex in the City. That's what we touched on.
Okay, Nestle, now is your chance to shine. What is the number one piece of advice you're going to give someone if they're trying to date out here? Not during COVID, just in general.
Oh, man. Oh, I say, lay it out there of what you want and what your standards are from the beginning. And if these people aren't willing to meet your standards, don't try to convince them. They're not going to do it. These people are going to do what they want. So just stay true to yourself. Live your truth. and be a bad bitch or a bad man, whatever you want to be.
We're inclusive over here.
We're inclusive. Yes.
I like that. I like that. I think I'm going to piggyback off of what you said and make sure that, because how do I phrase this? As someone who has seen women and men on Tinder, because I am queer, so I kind of am in both spaces. You look ridiculous. She has these little black shades on and she looks like a poet. Like a head ass poet. It's the combination of the little black shades and the beanie that make it incredibly head ass. Like she's gonna write some seriously like eloquent slam poetry.
Some spoken word.
Okay. So my thing would be. So bouncing off of what Leslie said, definitely make sure that you aren't just like telling guys what your standards are. You're showing them what your standards are. Because a lot of women on their dating profiles are like, if you can't handle me at my best, you can't handle me at my worst, you don't deserve me at my best. Or I don't tolerate bullshit. Or, you know, other stupid stuff like that, where you're basically trying to tell the man what he should do to get you. But I think it's probably better to just show the man that you have standards by how you carry yourself and what you allow him to do around you. So if you don't like a man who's late, then if the man is late to like a first date or something, you need to not let that shit go. Like, speak on it and tell the truth and be like, hey, like, I like men. I like men who are on time. You know, I prefer men who are punctual, and, you know, maybe you're not the right fit. Out the gate, you need to let him know what it is, and you need to carry yourself that way, because men will test you. If you're the type of woman that doesn't like to have sex until you are in a committed relationship, you don't even need to say nothing. Don't even tell him. Let him see with his actions that you're not about to put out until he's really putting something on the line for you. Because a lot of women think that just telling a man is going to make him change. But if anything, it's just a challenge. He sees it as a challenge to see if he can get you to do something that's out of the norm. So that's my recommendation, I think.
That's good stuff. That's good stuff. Mm-hmm. If I had my glasses on, I'd give you the glasses with the spoken word snaps. So you just get the snaps.
I'll take verbal confirmation as sufficient. But anyway, I did want to thank you, Nestle, for coming on the show. It was a blast, because talking to you always is. It's always just chaotic.
Chaos is all we know. It's all I know. It's what I live for.
Like, at this point, yes, chaos. It's always chaos. It's always very chaotic energy. But yeah, thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of the podcast. Stay tuned for the next few, because I have some really entertaining guests that you guys are going to love. If you like this episode and you enjoy the podcast More Than Potential, please, by all means, rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts, because you love us that much. Share to your friends and your coworkers and maybe your mama if she's into that, I guess. It's kind of explicit language sometimes, so I don't know, but you can if you want. And most importantly, thank you so much for listening and supporting me this whole time. It means the world. Stay tuned for the next episode, and I'll see you then. Bye.